Last month, Governor Jerry Brown called Fresno County Sheriff Margaret Mims to talk about Prop 57, one of Brown's top priorities in November. It's a ballot measure going before voters that would allow certain nonviolent offenders early parole from California prisons. It turns out Sheriff Mims wasn't in the office when the governor called, so he left this voicemail where he talks about a mailer the sheriff endorsed that raised questions about the potential release of some prisoners under Prop 57, including some convicted of rape.
Hey, Margaret, I got that mailing on Prop 57 that you signed with the sheriff of Orange County and Larry Morris, Greg Totten. You enclosed a card of a guy that you said would be released under my proposition. I just want you to know that's completely false, and that makes that mailer extremely false, and I would even say malicious. So I hope if you're lending your names to things, you can have someone do some due diligence so they don't purvey easily refutable facts. This guy was sentenced to 100 years. He's a registered sex offender on both accounts, would not be getting out. So that's the kind of scare tactics that I think are unbecoming of a public official and certainly will not build the kind of mutual respect and trust that we all need to do our jobs. So that's all I can say. Maybe I'll see you up at the sheriff's meeting. Thanks.
That voicemail didn't go over too well with Sheriff Mims, who stands firmly opposed to Prop 57. To hear more, we talked with her last Friday. Here's our conversation. Sheriff Mims, welcome.
Thank you for having me again.
A few weeks ago, Governor Brown left a voicemail for you. We just heard that message on our air. What was your reaction when you heard the governor's message initially?
Well, initially, I gave the governor a benefit of the doubt. I thought, you know, could we have made a mistake? So the first thing I did was send the voicemail to the campaign, No on 57, and asked to confirm that this guy was eligible for release should Prop 57 pass. And it was confirmed that he is, in fact, eligible. When confronted with this, the governor's response was, well, I'm going to put regulations in place to make sure that doesn't happen. The problem with that is regulations can come and go. If this passes, it will be law. And governors come and go. And so a next governor could even change regulations. So out of the abundance of caution, I double-checked it. The governor was wrong. This guy is eligible for early release. And that means that we're not safer because of it.
So a lot of this goes back to what is considered a violent or a nonviolent offense under current law and how Proposition 57 treats those instances. The governor is saying that if you're a sexual offender, that is a violent offense in his view. But you're saying that the law actually treats it differently in some cases.
Right. And his proposition would treat it different. So his proposition leaves open what is considered violent and nonviolent. So the reading of the measure is that the violent offenses would fall under a penal code, and that penal code is section 667.5, and it has a list of what violent offenses are. Unfortunately, many violent offenses aren't included in that penal code. And I'm talking about violent offenses such as rape by intoxication. So if somebody uses a date rape drug, or rape of an unconscious person, drive-by shootings, assaults with a deadly weapon, domestic violence involving trauma, lewd acts against a child under 14 or 15 years old, arson, failing to register as a sex offender, and that's only a few. Those are not included in the penal code definition of a violent felony. So those in custody right now, many second strikers would be eligible for release immediately if Prop 57 passes.
You made mention of the governor's intent to impose some new regulations after the fact, if voters were to approve this in November, that would, in his view, close those gaps. Your concern about that is what exactly again?
Well, the regulations can be changed. Governors are going to change. So I don't want to leave it up to a sitting governor to decide how this is applied. I want to make sure that we close any loopholes by not passing this law. because then the decisions are made by a non-elected board, the parole board, on who gets released and who doesn't. And I don't think that's right.
Sheriff Margaret Mims of Fresno County joins us now. You recently met with fellow sheriffs from across the state. What was the discussion like with regards to Proposition 57 as folks in your field are debating this?
There is no sheriff in the state that is supporting Prop 57. The discussion was, as an association, what position do we take? And the decision was to stay neutral on the proposition. And I will tell you, the governor and the state of California holds a lot of hammers over the heads of many counties, including jail funding. So the opportunity to punish sheriffs for actually coming out against the measure could be detrimental. And so the association itself voted to stay neutral on the proposition. However, as individual sheriffs, we can take our own positions.
Now, the governor has been very active, not only with Proposition 57, but in recent years, pushing other elements of criminal justice reform, sentencing reform, things like that. How do you feel those are playing out from your perspective in Fresno County so far?
Well, from my perspective, our jobs are not getting any easier and our communities are not any safer. So realignment occurred in October of 2011. And what that did was make the county responsible for many inmates and supervision of inmates that formerly were the responsibility of the state. This all happened as a result of a lawsuit filed by state inmates that started in the early 90s. It went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court told the state of California, yes, you're overcrowded, and it's due to the lack of medical care, so you must reduce your capacity. Now, the Supreme Court did not tell the state how to do that. So, for instance, they could have reduced capacity in facilities by building more facilities. You know, our population in California has risen dramatically, and when your population increases, you're going to have a certain part of that population that's going to commit crimes. We have not kept up with our population. But the governor's decision was to realign inmates, which means they didn't open up the back doors, they closed the front doors. We're just not going to take people like we used to. They are now a county responsibility. So that was realignment. Then Prop 47 passed, and that took effect in November of 2014. Immediately, our crime rate started going up. What Prop 47 did was change many felonies into misdemeanors. People were not then going to get treatment because they had a misdemeanor rather than a felony. There was no incentive to get involved in treatment programs, and our crime rates started going up. Now Prop 57 comes along, and I think it's the time now is to say enough is enough. Overall, in the state of California, crime rates are increasing, including violent crimes, which is the first time that's happened in many, many years.
There's another issue that recently has been advanced to the governor's desk now, and it's this bill called AB 2792, and it would, in effect, allow criminal aliens in California to refuse interviews with ICE. Immigration and Custom Enforcement has been working, in the case of Fresno County, closely with you, Sheriff Mims, and the folks at the jail for some time now. This is going to the governor now. What effect would this have in real terms in what you're doing with the county jail right now when you have individuals that are in the country without papers and accused of crimes?
Yes, this is more than people just being in the country without papers. This is about people who get booked into the Fresno County Jail because they have committed additional crimes. So what we do now is we allow ICE in the jail to come and interview people not born in this country and they make a determination about their legality. And they are only targeting people who fall into the priority 1 and 2 out of the ICE priority enforcement plan, which actually has three categories. So they are targeting people charged with the worst types of crimes. and have been multiple times deported. And I'm all supportive of that, you know, being into this country illegally and working hard, supporting yourself and your family is one thing. But when you come and then you commit crimes, that's pushing the envelope, and you should not be allowed to do that, and you should suffer the consequences. Now, the new law would change things and not allow local jurisdictions to communicate with ICE, which I believe is against federal law. The federal law says very clearly that you shall notify, you shall give information. So if the governor signs the bill, I look that there will be a legal challenge immediately.
Sheriff Mims, before we go, a couple of years ago, you were very outspoken on an issue that's of concern to a lot of mountain residents, and it was in regards to the new environmental protections for a couple of species, frogs that are native to the Sierra Nevada, and recently those frogs were granted essential habitat by the government in efforts to try to bring those species back. How concerned are you now about that issue and what it means for Fresno County? Do you see yourself as sheriff getting involved in that issue and potential enforcement and closing off areas?
Well, we're not going to be involved at all in closing off areas. I will tell you that right now. The negative impacts will include additional regulations on being able to manage our forests properly. We're already seeing the result of decades of improper management of our forest. Now, I will tell you that locally, the people working in the national forest, the national parks, know what need to be done. But unfortunately, they take the marching orders from Washington, D.C. So we've had overgrowth of trees when they should be thinned out, should have been thinned out for many, many years. So now we've gone through a drought. So now it's optimal timing for the beetle that's killing trees. So now we have over 60 million dead trees in California as a result of the beetle, as a result of not properly managing the forest. So it's just a domino effect over many years of inappropriate policies when it comes to properly managing our forest. Not to mention that the overgrowth of the trees take a lot of water that would normally percolate down into our aquifers. And we're not getting that as a result of not properly thinning the forest the way they should have been for decades.
Sheriff Margaret Mims, before we go, one last question about the governor. Any further conversations following that voicemail with Governor Brown about Prop 57 that you could share with us?
Well, as a result, we did personally talk. The governor did approach me at the state sheriff's meeting, and he said, "Margaret, you made me famous." And I said, "No, Governor, I think it's the other way around." But we're not going to agree on this issue. And that's why I'm adamantly opposed to Prop 57. Anything that makes my community less safe, I have a duty and a responsibility to fight, and I'm doing that.
Sheriff Margaret Mims of Fresno County joining us on Valley Edition. Sheriff Mims, thank you so much.
Thank you.